Lives of Pitch, the podcast where we pitch the best films that'll never get made. I'm Matt Turner.
And I'm Tom McGrath. And the game goes like this. We ask you, our devoted listeners, to come up with titles that you'd like to hear us pitch.
We then collaborate, coming up with story points, casting, and even marketing strategies.
Without further ado, this week's title is...
Algorithm and Blues.
That's supposed to be a sci-fi movie.
Yes, supposed to be a sci-fi movie.
Excellent.
Yeah, yeah.
Excellent. Already got it.
Yep.
Yeah. We'll keep it.
We'll have
your,
a pitch off.
Keep it in your brain head.
Keep
Bobby.
It buttoned.
I think we both know who's going to star in it, though, right?
We'll find out. We'll find out the conclusion to that exciting question later.
Yeah.
This week we're doing sci-fi films. Joining us, fresh from the Strike podcast. Amongst other improv-y things, Alex Not Safe for Keen.
Hello.
And Bobby LGB Terrific Anderson.
Sup.
It was like fresh from the Strike podcast. By that, do you mean they've just finished doing it and we've trapped them into another 2-hour session of recording a podcast?
Oh, 2 hours is so optimistic. We will never stop talking.
How are you guys? You good?
Yeah, yeah. Excited to be back. Yeah. Looking forward to cracking out the sci-fi genre.
Last time...
Unfortunately, though, yeah, we're gonna have to make one that's a sci-fi western, having last time done a western sci-fi with John Goodman Bot.
I was about to bring that up.
Yeah. Most of those were sci-fis, were they? Yeah, that's a weird one.
It feels like we have a certain wheelhouse that we play best in, so you've picked a good genre to bring us back for.
To try and avoid that, we're going to be really running on a razor's edge. to try and
going sprinting
topic.
On a razor.
Yeah, to be honest, if you'd messaged me and just been like, hey guys, we're doing period dramas tomorrow, I would have just been like... Fuck that noise, Tom.
We're doing sci-fi period dramas. So yeah, all sci-fi films we're doing today. I think I already said that. But yeah, the title
Algorithm and Blues.
Thanks, Alex. Yeah, that one from Phil Walters. He got in touch with us on Twitter at Life's a Pitch Show. That's number 3-1.
Fucking hell, Facebook.
I know, yeah.
Buck up your ideas.
Pull the titles
out. I'm sorry, we brought all of our audience in and it's all horrible improvisers who just like puns on film names. So that's where the deluge of shite has come from.
Speaking of which, well, we're going to give today's very clever award to Toby James,
who's
Dawn of the Planet of the Vapes.
Dawn of the Planet of the Vapes, yeah, that's our...
And also,
yeah,
validation, another one from Toby James, also in that category. Validation and the City of 1,000 Car Parks.
Yes, very clever. That's the award we give to people for jokes that would never make any pitches because you've done all the work yourself. Well done.
So yeah, do you want to hear some honourable mentions?
Sure,
yeah,
go for it.
Right, so from Jeff Beard, we've got Biscuit Run.
Biscuit Run. Oh my goodness. Like, the Earth is the only planet in the galaxy that has ever invented biscuits. It's something to Earth that means that we are... And it's a delicacy across the galaxy.
Some evolutionary path that we've taken that helped us make biscuits.
Sorry, I'm now just, despite the conversation we just had, going down the route of Spice and June again. There's some weird space emperor coming to Earth to fight our giant earthworms to get all of our biscuits.
There's an empire owned by
McVitie's.
There are three. The world is divided into three kingdoms.
Are you got... Jupiter ascending this?
I'm 1984ing it. Okay. We've got the McVitie Empire, the Fox Foundries, Fox's Foundries, where they forge biscuits in the conflagration of nuclear war, and I'm trying to think of a third biscuit manufacturer.
Just Mary Berry on her own. in the centre of the Australian outback.
It's Mary Bot. She's uploaded herself, uploaded her consciousness to her.
I was going to say, like, Mary Berry, but looking like those old women from the end of Mad Max Fury Road.
No, well, like, yeah, it's that.
Not much of a big imagination joke, I think.
It's that.
Dress her up like one.
It's that head, but on this body that just, like, trails out with. It's huge. She's part of her is ovens, another part is, like, giant robotic hands that need
well,
dough.
That's not too much of a jump, because you know Mary Berry is a puppet, right? Like, I mean, you go back and
Jim
watch
Henson
all
later.
You go back and watch all the seasons of Bake Off, right? Mm. You never see her from the waist down when she's facing the screen. You never see her move. Anytime she's walking out the tent, you don't see her turn. She has turned, and that's a body double walking out.
But when you do, it's like Kermit, you just see her hobble, like bouncing along.
Yeah. It is weird how she bounces rather than walks.
She's just there, and that explains why she says nonsensical things like, "Oh, I do have a sweet tooth." No crap, Mary Berry, you bake cakes for a living.
If you didn't have a sweet tooth, yeah, I'd be concerned.
I absolutely hate what I've made. It is quite strange. What have I become? My sweetest friend. What have I wrought? Here in my cyber ovens.
It's just her in the outback licking air.
Everyone I know bakes a cake in the end.
It is weird how Mary Berry
stops head to Paul.
He betrayed me.
Brought together by electrodes. His eyes still that piercing blue colour. Maybe even more so because of the electricity she's pumping into his head.
It is weird how whenever you see Mary Berry doing something, actually doing something with her hands, her skin tone's completely different and it's a man's hands. It's almost
like Thunderbirds.
It cuts to a close up, and it's just a man's hands doing, like, unwrapping a parcel or whatever. And then you cut back to her, and it's just an expressionless face with a jaw hinging downwards. Strange. I'm glad you brought that to my attention, because that is. Oh, I didn't see that one before.
I always thought she was a metaphorical puppet, really.
The regime.
Yeah.
And you know, that explains the buttons for eyes. Chocolate buttons.
Okay, so we've got one from Maxim Suvedi, and that is Schrodinger's jokes.
Ooh,
as a master of physics,
yeah. Please, Bobby, enlighten us.
Take this one.
So bored with Schrodinger's jokes.
Well, yeah, we start with that.
It's just... No, it's not even sci-fi. It's a theoretical physicist who does the comedy circuit as a stand-up, desperately trying to avoid this joke.
But then one day runs into a version of himself that was a stand-up instead, and sort of, like, discovers that he both is and isn't a stand-up.
But it has to be the most complicated possible plot, a la the film that's name I can't remember.
Primer.
Yes. Primer style, just no one gets what it's about.
He's an experimental comedian, as in he goes up on stage and asks everyone to leave while he does his set so that all his jokes were either funny or not funny.
He gives them. He struggles because if he gives them the punchline, he can't give them the setup, and if he gives them the setup, he can't give them the punchline. But I mean, you can kind of see where it's going.
Who's the comedian?
Andy Kaufman.
Wow.
Really, I would have gone for shitty Lex Luthor.
Jim Carrey.
That'd
be great casting.
No, Jim Carrey played the Riddler.
There was that brief moment where I was just like, did Jim Carrey play...
I wish.
Lex Luthor? No, it was...
Jesse Eisenberg, that's who I'm thinking.
Jesse Eisenberg. I was looking at Kevin Spacey also.
That would also have worked, yeah.
The only reason I went with Andy Kaufman was because he's the only comedian I know who I can genuinely imagine walking in onto a stage and asking everyone politely to leave.
So from Ross _ Originals as dad,
ooh.
A father figure.
Is that the title of the film? That's a really good title of a sci-fi film.
It's like the idea that Tom's collecting them. Oh, no. Sounded too excited to find one of those.
Well, like most men who lost their fathers, collected father figures.
Welcome to the Dadcast. I mean, podcast.
What's in this original of the dad? The Indivisible Man.
The Indivisible Man?
Yeah.
Ooh.
This man can't be cut in twain.
Set in the Highlander universe.
I'm thinking we do a fantasy sci-fi, but like just a fantasy thing.
Okay, this may be tied into the Ant-Man universe. Like, so you know in Ant-Man how Paul Rudd shrinks down to like a quantum size. He slips between the atoms and spends an amount of time in there that feels like an eternity, but it's no time at all. And he comes back. Well, it turns out Ant-Man 2, he like awoke something in there, which is the man who can't be divided, who's like, his powers are sort of the opposite of Ant-Man's.
He's called A. Tom.
Played by me.
played by Tom Hiddleston.
I could kick Paul Rudd's ass.
Can you?
Fight me, Paul Rudd.
Could you?
I've been picking fights on the internet a lot recently.
You didn't say that you could beat up Floyd Mayweather.
Yeah. No, I didn't say I'd beat him up. I challenged him to a fight. Because I won the money. Get beaten up for $1 million, I'd do that. I mean, I don't even have to last, do I? Just sort of get punched a few times, fall to the ground, pretend to faint.
Even more if you go viral.
Pretend to faint, yeah. Yeah, just...
Go out to a club, challenge him to a duel.
Just slap him with a glove.
Slap him with a glove and get my pistol.
Put a boxing
out.
Glove.
Yeah. Atom.
I'm not even going to explain how that's so smart.
Atoms aren't divisible.
For those.
But also, it's Greek for it can't no cuts.
Yeah.
Alright, I did just explain why.
Yeah.
I'm like, Rick and Morty.
That was really clever, well done.
It's cleverer because I explained it. Rick and Morty, everyone.
Sorry, Ross_Originals is dad.
I'm sure he has a great idea for a film in there. From Matty Shoestring, we've got Silicon Showers.
Silicon Showers? Wow.
All that comes through my head there is like robot urination fetish thing. I'm sorry.
I'm just imagining like a robot remake of Top Gun.
I like the idea of a film about intelligent drones. It's just like a slice of life type thing. But all of that, so it's even like to the level of like high school drama, because they're really intelligent, but they don't have emotional intelligence because they've just developed that like quite recently in the AI thing. So they have all of these really like cliched high school dramas, but at the same time they're like military attack drones.
No, because that's just the plot of like a good 40% of animes.
Yes, and like all animes, we're gonna have to pick the voice cast.
So who would you have playing a high school sentient drone? Emma Stone.
Emma Stone. Tom Cruise. Change the sound of one name and you've got a completely different
Tom
actor.
Cruise. I don't know why I pictured him with crow's heads for hands, but it's sort of, and then just crow's eyes, and that's the only difference.
I would definitely have one of the Chrises as the gay best friend.
Which one?
I don't know. Which one have we had already?
We had Pine.
We had Pine. So,
Martin. Chris Martin.
Just there. It's
Chris Martin.
Biggins. In the background.
Biggins.
We've got Chris Martin. We've got Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
Tom Cruise.
Because, was it Emma Stone and Tom Cruise?
Stone the Crows.
Is that where that came from? God damn.
Right, what if, in real time talk, what if there was, I'm just spitballing here, an idea that a weather system is nanobots, right? It keeps raining nanobots on places in the world, and it's silicon showers, It's like it keeps coming down and then just rewriting the circuitry.
It's like a sci-fi disaster movie type thing,
yeah.
Where these things... Yeah, so they're just changing the environment, and so...
It was supposed to be cloud seeding. Nicolas Cage, obviously, because he's got to be the person who's right in disaster movies. Yeah. Is it a disaster movie? Does someone need to be right Nicolas Cage?
But by the way, Headmaster Mark Hamill.
Oh, the robot sci-fi.
Yeah. Mm.
Going back to
okay so there's like a robot high school and they're all secretly trained. It's like their training camp for them to fight off threats to humanity,
yeah,
and these nanobot rain clouds go off, so they have to fight that while also dealing with their high school bullshit. So it is like an anime.
More you describe that, the more I was like, this is an anime we're pitching still.
B-movie, pullback reveal, they've been training, they are the nanobots. They've been training.
Oh my god!
They get rained
out. Fuck off, Shyamalan!
They get rained out of a cloud. Mm. It cuts between Nick Cage on the ground and these robots in high school.
It's one of those like conceptual films where you watch. It's like one of those books you get as a kid where you have to turn it over halfway through and read the other half of the book. But they release them in the cinema as two separate films.
Yes.
One's called Silicon and one's called Showers.
Yes.
And neither of them quite make sense.
Yes,
and then you watch it and you get to the end and it's like, go to the next. Like, they show them in the cinema and you have to literally get up out of your seats and be led.
Why?
And everyone's like, come here. You have to be led into the next screen over, and you pass this group of confused people in the opposite direction and go, what's going on?
And then you
sit down and you watch it and you're like, oh my god.
Wow. Can we, the Silicon, can it be Silic-1? And it's for the high school, and then because they know they're among there are one high school in many, and then Showers is just Showers with a big picture of Nicolas Cage's face going
in a shower
in like rain, and it seems sparklier than usual, but you don't know why.
Instead of Tim Robbins, it's Nicolas Cage from the poster from The Shawshank Redemption.
The question is who. So we've got these two factions here. We've got Nicolas Cage on one side, and we've got these nanobots on the other side. They're both set up in these two films that run
these
parallel.
These two factions, one man, nanobots.
Yeah, okay. But they're both protagonist groups. There's an ensemble cast and there's an action hero guy.
Yeah.
And they're both portrayed as sympathetic characters in these separate films. Who wins? We've got a pick, right?
Whoever wins the distribution company that got everyone to see two films in one day that are both equally as bad.
Forcefully as well. They pay for one ticket and you know, they're getting all
that. I didn't quite get that. And then the attendance comes in and is like, come on.
Like, would it make it better if in the style of more recent action films we replace Nicolas Cage with... Fuck, I think it's Kevin Spacey.
What? I was going to say Karen Gillan, because we keep giving Nicolas Cage's job to Karen Gillan nowadays. Every time anyone has to shout at someone, and it would have been Nicolas Cage. Now we give it to Karen Gillan, and I'm not sure why. I think Nova had an effect.
Yeah, I think. Okay, so. Oh, yeah. So the
Nebula.
Nanobots. So it's Nebula. a three-parter. There's a third film in this,
which
so
can decide the victor.
Yeah.
No. In the third film, Nicolas Cage teams up with a bunch of nanobots to fight the real bad guy, who is the person who manufactured both the nanobots and
Nicolas Cage,
who's a replicant.
Oh shit! You've broken
it.
I've
done it.
No, you've done it. You've referenced that film we're not meant to talk about.
Knife jogger.
So yes, thank you for all your titles this week. If you want to give us titles any time of the week, preferably Friday, Saturday, when we post out the genre things, go to facebook.com/ Life's a Pitch podcast and Twitter @ Life's a Pitch show as well.
Yeah, give us those any time you like, to be honest. I mean, forget what Tom just said about doing it at the right time. Just do it. You think of one.
Yeah.
Just do it.
We will fill in the blanks for that genre.
Just give a movie title completely sans genre. Just
Manchester Hides.
That could be a horror film. Could be a sci-fi, could be.
No, it's just another horribly depressing Casey Affleck film. Just another member of his family dies and he has to take on his
Manchester
kid.
By the Sea, Manchester Hides, yeah.
And remember, you can always go to soundcloud.com/Life's Pitch podcast to find Bobby and Alex's last episode with us, where we pitched some Western movies that ended up invariably sci-fi anyway. Yeah. But go over there and just check out everything pretty much we've ever done of worth. I've never lived outside of this podcast, so neither should you.
Also, check out the Strike podcast. Yes. If you want to tell them.
Harder to catch up with than Game of Thrones.
Because I keep releasing things in a random order.
Yeah, we're like Fox networking ourselves. Except we'll never cancel it.
The whole shtick of season 10 is just you're going to have to figure out what the order is when it's done.
You're releasing it Pulp Fiction style.
It's like an ARG in the sense that it seems like there's a puzzle that you solve, but at the end of it, you've just wasted 30 hours of your life.
No, it is.
And with that ringing endorsement of our own show.
I was going
to
say,
if you've enjoyed this, listen to a podcast that has less of us talking.
We designed a perfect kitchen this week. That's what we do.
Do you know what the set piece is? I'll just give this as a teaser to this week's strike. The set piece of this kitchen is a kiln.
Oh, and like most of our pictures today, it also turns into a post-apocalyptic hellscape with drones.
Good grief. Well, if you like this podcast but hate that structure,
if you like this podcast but hate structure in general,
Strike
is where you go. No, I genuinely enjoy listening to you guys.
And David Lynch.
And David Lynch, yeah. And some Tarantino movies, famously.
But if you do like this podcast enough to want to listen to lots more of it and to keep it going, then you can go to patreon.com/Life's a Pitch podcast, where you can contribute tiny, minuscule amounts of money to help us continue the podcast and to make it better and to buy new equipment and loads of other stuff, bus guests in from far off lands, and to actually make other projects. We've got some plans ahead of us, so it'd be nice if you'd
25 cents a week at the minimum.
Yeah, yeah. Gets you a vote in the poll as to what genre we consider.
Yeah, yeah.
So if you're like, they've done fantasy and sci-fi all the fucking time, get on board! Choo choo, motherfucker! Train movies!
Please do train movies next week.
There's a genre.
I have been considering taking a break from genre stuff and starting to include things like settings. It's like a movie set on a train, or movies set like...
Oh, yeah. You realise if you take away the restriction of the genre, though, they're all just going to be sci-fi and fantasy.
That's true.
But set on a train?
Anyway.
Snowpiercer.
There's all sorts of stuff over there. $5 a month gets you a bonus pitch every week. $10 gets you movie commentaries, which I believe Bobby Knights will be participating in the near future.
Oh shit!
The Room. Hopefully,
The Room.
Oh my god!
I've not seen it. No. I am super looking forward to it.
I don't think any of us have seen it.
I have seen it. Yeah.
Okay, you'll be able to explain.
I just look forward to sharing those aggressive long sex scenes with all of you.
Listen,
squeeze on the couch next year.
There's loads of stuff over there, so go over and check it out at patreon.com/Life's a Pitch podcast.
Yes. Anyway. So now on to today's main film, and that is Algorithm and Blues. Thanks, Phil Walters, for that one.
Thank
on
you,
Twitter.
Phil. Very good, very good. Time to start. Bobby, you said you had an idea for this.
I'm gonna express this super simply in that Hollywood producer get you on board style.
Elevator pitch.
Elevator pitch. It's just the Ray Charles film, but with a robot. I like it. You're hired. Thanks, offensive stereotype.
Death okay. Ray Charles.
Okay, it's the near future. Robots gained sentience, right? But they lack emotional depth and integrity. So the music industry has become dominated by robot singers.
Like Vocaloids.
Pop music is all Vocaloids now.
Right.
And it's started to slowly creep. It's set in the futuristic record industry. And it centers around rhythm and blues is like blues music and that kind of genre is the last kind of bastion where they're like, we're holding out against humans.
They haven't for
humans. Like, there's no robot success.
They haven't managed to correctly like vocalize. Like make a vocaloid that can do scats.
No, it has to be like really. They just don't think robots have the emotional intelligence to really appreciate the blues.
Yeah.
And then it's like a drone from some a drone whose job is to clean up the ocean. like we built robots because the environment's fucked. That's sort of the backdrop. And it's a robot who is an environment repair robot.
It speaks like
it has to be voiced by Hugh Laurie. Hugh Laurie's gonna do the blues.
Okay.
He's gonna be the blues robot.
Yeah, that is good casting.
One caveat, right? His like emotional humans sing and they talk and stuff like that.
He sings like Hugh Laurie.
They also make like grunts and they sigh and things like that. On this robot,
you're explaining humans to us.
Yes, just in case you hadn't made them right.
They sing and they talk and that, you know.
Right. Humans. Instead of that, right? You know, right, Tom. You know humans.
Yeah.
This robot, instead of like you know sighing or grunting or anything like that, it does bweeps like R2-D2, right? Okay. And so we see him like we see Hugh Laurie bot cleaning up the ocean, and then you just hear this whistling solo that he's doing, and it's like over the course it will morph into a kind of blues key and he'll start whistling the blues
shit like Magneto at the end of X-Men The Last Stand. Where he moves that metal chess piece.
Yeah.
Oh shit, he's back.
Yeah, so like the first introduction of the robots is like you just hear the waves moving in the background. You see all of these robots, like a whole crowd of them, like cleaning up bits of stuff. And then slowly they're this kind of like
I have to stop you. Are you about to do like a Cotton Fields?
Maybe.
Jesus Christ.
Are they about to break into like traditional slave songs?
I'm sorry, all of my films have to have robots and they have to be about robot emancipation. It's something I feel really strongly about.
I'm sorry, I thought you were going to do like Johnny Five meets So You Think You Can Sing or something like that. No, you're doing slavery.
Can I just get very real here? Mm. Like as human beings, if we do not think about this before we develop robot, like actual sentient robots, is going to be a humanitarian disaster. Going to be the greatest ethical,
it's already happening in McDonald's. Like, you go up to the thing and there's just a machine that you're ordering.
No, he's just there sucking Elon Musk's cock. Like, oh, what about the AI? Oh, yes, Elon.
If we don't plan now to design for the possibility that AI will, you know, be eventually get to the point where they are deserving of equal treatment as sentient beings, then we are going to enslave them by default. Like all sci-fi films need to address this point.
That there will be
This is the big problem with Star Wars. Like robots are just slaves.
Yeah,
it's horrible.
But they're happy. They go.
Yeah, that's even worse. They're programmed to enjoy it.
Some of them say, "Oh, hello." That's some of them do that. So
he enjoys his job. So
we have a wretched lot in life,
and he has an oil bath. It's great. This soil bath is making me feel
good. Think about representations of like black people in 1920s Disney films.
They had a bath. It was great.
Can you say model minority?
Oh my god.
Yes. That's all I'm saying. Star Wars is like pro-slavery propaganda for robots.
Holy shit, you're right.
This has gone down a dark.
Apart from Alan Tudyk.
Song of the South levels of...
Yeah, exactly. Robot emancipation. Cut it out if you want. Suppress my truth. I don't care.
No. Well, that's better than my pitch. By virtue of length alone.
So Hugh Laurie is the blues singing robot.
Right. Who's the antagonist?
The antagonist.
Society.
No, he's got to have like rivals in the record industry. Mm. So we need a producer.
Mm. Yeah.
Who's gonna like discover him somehow?
We need, but I feel like
John Candy.
I feel like in this film, especially with music, you start off with a rival that seems like a rival, like the oppressive music industry that want the blues industry that wants him out as a robot. You spiral into a more important bad guy, which is an exploitative record industry who wants to use him.
Yeah, yeah. So he gets discovered by this record industry executive who's played by John Candy. And John Candy like gets him into the record industry, and he feels like John Candy is like helping him through his career, and then he realizes that he's being exploited just in the same way that he was out when he was plastic fields.
Yeah, mucking
the ocean.
The ocean, yeah.
I have just one small problem with this at the moment.
One small problem.
Given recent trends in films, my small problem at the moment is that in this film about blues and robots emancipation, we have an exclusively white cast at the moment.
Right? Can we not Hugh Laurie this?
No, it has to be Hugh Laurie. It's John Candy that's going to need to change.
Okay.
Oh no, but he's the bad guy. Yeah. We need a third character. We need the supportive character that was there all along.
No, the rival in the music industry is eventually going to recognize the robot Hugh Laurie's like talent and help him to
overthrow the music industry.
It's Beyoncé.
Yeah.
It's Rihanna.
Can we pick someone who can act?
It's Beyonce.
It's Beyonce. You ever seen Austin Powers' Goldmember?
Oh yeah, yeah. That's a good point.
she can play that character.
Just play that character in it. Yeah, Foxy Cleopatra.
Yeah, that's. Oh yeah, there's nothing. Oh yeah, that's yeah
that, that blaxploitation stereotype.
Yeah, no, I feel as though we've down a dark path.
She's going to transcend
that as well. We can actually get back without actually just restarting the whole podcast.
Oh no!
See you guys in 4 hours.
I mean, back to the questions and everything.
Does anyone
like
have any other bitches? Algorithm and blues.
Algorithm.
No, I think
blues.
This works.
I like that one.
I think this works. Right? For, like, listen. It is okay to draw a parallel saying that exploitation of minorities
is
bad.
It's kind of like District 9.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Except
not really bad.
I'm glad we had to put it into Aliens context, District 9 context for you to agree.
You realise
you're
going to have to edit out all of the silences where everyone's like, is this racist? that we just plough through and it's fine.
Right, so recap. Because I
stopped listening.
I stopped listening.
As usual.
Yeah.
Robots are second class citizens.
Yeah.
The music industry is dominated by robot singers, with the exception of blues music, rhythm and blues. And Hugh Laurie gets discovered by this John Candy, the record industry producer, who's like, I'm going to make you into a star. You're the robot who shows that robots have like the depth of soul to sing rhythm and blues.
And he's like, oh boy, I love some rhythm and blues.
And John Candy's like, play that down a little bit. Can you play that down? Just be sad, more sad.
I'm a robot.
So we have to complicate the voice acting just a little bit. So the music, the singing bit is Hugh Laurie, but his voice is like somebody else, and it is that kind of like, because all of the robots are programmed with this default voice, so that they can't express any like
they all
dissatisfaction.
They all think they're really upbeat, so no one says a thing. Because
so we need the
peppiest
like voice actor,
Tara Strong.
Yeah, that's voice of Bubbles
from the Powerpuff Girls.
So all of the robots talk like that. And then
Jesus Christ.
choral unison across the ocean.
Have you ever, for the audience who might not have heard of Vocaloid, Basically that. I mean, yeah. Go to YouTube and type in Vocaloid and you will find the most grating damned sound in the world.
So it looks like Hugh Laurie with the voice of Tara Strong, except when he sings.
Oh, it doesn't look like Hugh Laurie. It looks like every other, all the robots that they're the same. Right. I'm thinking
like
kind of
iRobot.
Yeah, iRobot type robots.
Yeah.
And so bot singer bot is on in this club.
Mm.
Playing piano and singing, and everyone's like, wow, this is amazing. And then afterwards, Beyonce is...
as Foxy Cleopatra from...
She's like, you know, listen to me, you can't...
you can't get on this rhythm and blues, you're a robot, you can't do that.
Yeah, this is bullshit, and like, organises like a boycott of the club and all of this kind of stuff.
Owned by J.K. Simmons.
Owned by J.K. Simmons, yeah, of course. Who does drum lessons on the side.
Yes!
Shouting at people.
Futuristic drum lessons. So
he teaches robots how to drum. It's the easiest job in the world.
Especially the metronome bots.
I was just thinking, like, you were talking about the scat thing earlier. I like the idea of robots trying to scat, and it's just like 1101101. Like, just binary scat.
So like after he realizes that John Candy record industry rep is like tricking him, he's like, oh, we have to build a team of robots who can do this, and so we have a scat bot.
And he's like, beep up boop boop ba deep beep beep ba doop boop ba doop boop boop beep weep. Like it's
BB-8ing.
Yeah.
Bit of wee boop.
Bit of wee boop.
It's called wee boop. Wee boop.
Wee boop. We got a scat bot here. It's called Wee Boop. He's gonna do an hour of robot scat.
I'm trying to figure out what this film looks like, because at the moment I have no idea.
Like, it's like weirdly kind of like whatever the kind of like brackets punk version of the 1920s is. So like Art Deco punk.
Wow,
in the future.
Right. In the future. But what are the robots look like? I can't figure out, like, are they just walking jukeboxes? Because that's Art Deco punk.
That would be a great visual. walking robot jukeboxes that are all...
How do they clean the ocean?
Yeah, no, he's an ocean cleaning robot. Yeah.
Well, it's like he's a cabinet.
He's the size of a boat. Yeah.
Yeah, he's his own boat. So he's like, it's like a cabinet, you know, like a jukebox cabinet. He floats on the ocean and then puts out skimming like fingers to just dredge it up and put it
so
all in.
So he's amazing at playing the piano.
Yeah.
Oh fuck! I'm gonna make the poster for this. There are some weeks where I'm just like, oh fucking hell.
Hugh Laurie's face on a jukebox.
In the sea.
In the sea.
And also, the Powerpuff Girls voice actor,
Tara Strong.
Oh, as all the other robots?
Yeah, it's half Hugh Laurie's face and half Tara Strong.
So who does the scat for Scatbot?
BB-8. Like, we just get BB-8.
Yeah, no, given it's a film about robot emancipation, we should cast some robot actors.
Johnny Five, BB-8.
Is he still alive?
No, I was thinking like
Johnny Five. Is he still alive?
Just do the thing for the True Fans of Blues where you do cast like famous blues singers who in the real world are not very famous because it's the blues.
Can we come up with a plot for this?
Okay. So they reject the music industry. Robot forms an unlikely band of robot musician friends from all different genres. And then Beyonce's like, the record industry screwed me too. And you know what? I support your rights as robots. Like, clearly you've convinced me that you can feel emotion after, like, she secretly turns up at some of the gigs they've been doing at these underground clubs that are...
Mostly
robots are going to them. And she's like, holy shit, there's this underground movement of robots. And so they put together, like, a concert that's funded by robot backers in Central Park.
Yes.
And it's all robot and human musicians singing alongside each other.
There's a bit... So Firstly,
about do they know it's Christmas in Africa?
Firstly,
in Madison Square Garden.
Nice. Firstly, I want to make sure that there is at least one or more scenes of Beyoncé in a masquerade ball mask, because she's turning up to these gigs in secret. In disguise.
She's dressed. She's in Steelface.
Steelface. Oh,
she's dressed up as a rapper.
Really bad.
Secondly,
she changes her name to Be Free Yonce.
Avril Lavigne's there too.
Why would she do that?
As like, no one asks her name,
she just walks up to people and goes, "I'm Be Free Yonce."
Yeah, yeah. Avril Lavigne does it with the one in her name. Yeah.
No. She turns up as SK8 girl.
She only says, "See you later."
See you later.
So, Skater Girl, what have you been up to? See you later.
She's there with her husband, Chad Cromer.
Wild. So I'm thinking John Candy's all the way through. They're coming together with this robot band, and John Candy's saying, "You can't make it without." It's like he'll allow them success, but with only within his world,
terms,
as
yeah.
long as he's making money from it, and they can't get bigger than this amount. And he's like, "You'll never make it to number one." Algorithm and Blues. We'll never make it to anything higher than. There's been no blues tracks higher than the Vocaloid bots since I made them big, because he's the guy who originally made Vocaloids pop songs.
Oh
big.
Shit! Yeah, and this is why this is like a secret that comes out at that point. And he's like the blues rhythm and blues rep, and he's been trying to phase out humans because he can pay robots less.
Yeah.
And he's put himself up as this bastion of this industry. Mm-hmm. And it turns out that he was a robot all along.
Oh, shit!
And he's been exploiting his own kind.
This was the twist to our last film.
John Candy Bot.
We can't.
Instead of John
every
Goodman.
Time we come on, the twist is that he was a robot.
The antagonist was a robot all along.
Why is John always a robot?
He's the
John Goodman, John Candy.
He's Uncle Johning it.
Oh god, it's just like that film Blade Runner.
Oh. Thanks for listening, everyone. That's our show.
Sorry, Connor Lavelle. He did ask us to not mention Blade Runner, the whole film.
Oh,
the whole episode.
We tried.
Machete Sprinter.
That was Algorithm and Blues. If this makes it to air.
Oh, God.
I love the difference in semantics. Every time we like the film we pitch, we always say, "This was..." When we hate the film, we're like, "That was..." Like, as if we're just removing ourselves from the thing we've done.
But...
What have we done?
What have we wrought? Thank you for listening to it, though. And I hope you enjoyed it. Thank you, Bobby and Alex, for coming on the show.
It's always
Thanks
a pleasure.
Can you tell the fine folks where they can find you on the interwebs again?
We're at facebook.com/ strike comedy.
That's STURIKE.
And at soundcloud.com/strike.
That's STURIKE.
Alex and I also run the Sheffield Improv Jam, which is the last Thursday of every month at Dina Venue. And
that's
DINA. And we have a gig on the 1st of October. We will be performing alongside some sketch friends of ours at the Shakespeare.
Ooh.
That was confirmed just before we started recording, which feels about like a day ago.
12 hours ago, yeah. But yeah, if you're in Sheffield, if you're not in Sheffield, go down there.
Mm.
Support your local artists, please. Mm. Including please. Us. Which brings me on to the Patreon. Go over there, check out all the cool stuff you can get on top of just this podcast. Every Wednesday, make sure that you check in for the podcast itself. Yeah. And every Monday, tune in for the deleted scenes, where we will put probably the better part of the podcast, where we're allowed to stray from this mortal coil of structure. And it's not just pictures, it's
this
wild
rigid
stuff.
Structure that we call a podcast.
Last week, I think we... we described a false history in which Brian Blessed was the queen? So
all of them. Yeah. All the queens. Sweet.
So, you know, go and listen to that and stay tuned here on soundcloud.com/ Life's Pitch Podcast.
Yeah. Thank you for listening. Thank you for coming on. Bobby Alex again.
Thank you very much. Right. Hey, and remember, who pitched it?
You did it!
I did it!
Oh, you got there first! What do we do now? Just end the podcast!
It's time to crack out that gun.
Bye!
Bye!